Welcome to Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. You can follow us on Facebook at Freeform Network. We're on Twitter under FFR Podcast. And remember to send questions, suggestions, all your hate and love to ffnquestions@gmail.com. Check out our friends at 1893 Coalition, Intellectual Nonsense, Enthusiast Project. They love dropping episodes. Again, it's Andy with Freeform Radio. I got
Daniel.
And we are enjoying
a beautiful day.
Beautiful day. And what do you do on a beautiful day? You guys go out to have dinner with your family. And you mentioned you went to Olive Garden, Danny, or OG's as I call it. And I'm pretty sure you had a wonderful experience if you want to talk about it on today's show.
Yeah, no, it was probably, it was good because we were with family. And we actually did it a couple days before Mother's Day, actually, because Carrie, my mother-in-law, Alana's mother,
right.
she wanted to go to Olive Garden for Mother's Day. So we're like, well, let's go eat it up. Even though Olive Garden is starting to get a little corporate-y, they started bringing in like tablets and they're starting to become more mainstream versus more of a specialty.
It's not what it used to be. Yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah, it's a big corporation and I don't know what happened. Their food, it's always been decent, but lately, the last time I went, I'm just like a little disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, I've been so far happy with the food. I tend to not get too much of that pasta stuff. I'm being diabetic.
Right.
I don't eat a lot of breads. But I do eat the soup and salad is usually what I pick up when I go there. And it's half decent, man. I'm a man of a good salad. I could eat some of that salad, even though that's probably not as good for you either with all that dressing they put on there.
That's what makes it taste good.
Yeah, but that's – yeah, exactly right, man. That's what makes it taste good. So anyways, we're going there for Mother's Day. We went a few days before or after Mother's Day because we don't want to hit that Mother's Day rush.
It was just a Mother's Day themed dinner.
Yeah.
Even though it was actually not on Mother's Day.
Yeah, that was our intent, was we were celebrating Mother's Day, all of us together. It was everybody on my mother-in-law's side, all the brothers or all of Alana's brothers and the wives. Everybody was there to eat together. So we get there, we place our orders. Everybody orders these like entrees and pasta bowls and all this craziness.
Right.
You know, basically basic stuff that they sell there. And I was the only one that, or me and Ada, Alana's grandmother, were the only ones that got soup and salad. Everybody else got like an entree. And then Junior got like a plain cheese pizza from the kids menu.
All right.
So we're all ordering. We're having a good time. Got a couple drinks. No liquor. I don't think anybody was drinking liquor. Everybody was just drinking regular stuff.
No free cup of wine or whatever they do.
No. That was actually another thing that they complained about, is that nobody even offered them a sample to even try and maybe entice them to maybe like buy some drinks.
Just came and loaded the breadsticks and like everybody's, where's the wine? No wine.
Yeah. And it actually took a little bit to even get our table. I kind of chalked it up to it just being a big party. I think it was like 10 of us at the end of it after everybody was there, something like that. So it was a pretty big group. So to me, I understood that it took a minute to organize the tables and get us all together.
Real quick, Danny. Now, my whole time I've gone to Olive Garden, they've never offered reservations. Did you call ahead or anything? Or when you got like, especially like 10 people?
No. It's my understanding they don't accept reservations.
They don't have like priority seating or anything like that, right?
But me and Alana had gotten there a few minutes early just to get the ball rolling while everybody else got there. So we had asked for the table, and even after everybody got there, which was maybe another 5 minutes later,
right,
the table still wasn't ready, and we still had to wait another like 5 minutes on top of that. So it was about a 10-minute wait on a weekday. So to me, it was understandable, but right away, everybody was kind of, you know, pissy, like, oh, this took too long, and we didn't even get a glass of wine sample or anything. So I think people were kind of in a bad mood already, you know, expecting excellence, but with a big group like that, I don't know where your expectations can really be. So anyways, everybody ordered their food. since I ordered a soup and salad, they probably, I imagine they got like a big charola, you know, a big old
barrel,
big old barrel of soup, and they just wooden dig it out, yeah, just
throwing it in there.
Dude, that's what I picture in my head.
That's what I imagine too.
And the same thing with the salad. I just imagine a big bucket full of salad, and then they just pour the, they douse it with this dressing, and then they just pour, you know, bring it out there.
Imagine the salad dressing. They got like a 55 barrel, a gallon drum back there. You know, like at work, we have the oil thing.
Oh, yeah,
just
yeah.
Like they're just there drenching it.
Those oil guns, yeah.
You hear the thing just unloading all the dressing on that big salad.
Yeah. So me and Anaitha got our salads and our soup right away. Then a few other people with their entrees, they had gotten soup, so they brought up some of the soup. So anyways, time passes. We're eating. I ate a bowl of soup, the salad. Right. The lady comes around again after a few minutes. Hey, would you like some more? I'm like, yeah, bring another of both. I had demolished that salad and I had finished my soup. So she brings another round out. And this whole time, no other foods have been brought out yet. So she brings out my second serving. And Nada's not really a big eater. So she just ate her soup and salad and she was done. I ate three bowls of salad and three bowls of soup. And they still had not brought out the entree. That's how much time had passed out, passed by. And, I mean, to say the least, everybody was kind of upset. You got a bunch of mothers and women hungry and no food.
Let me ask you this, Danny. So when you have a big group like that, you have a lot of women, right? So does anybody decide, generally knowing you, you're not gonna complain, right? Or you might make like a note like, yeah, what's going on or something. But did someone actually get up and start complaining and someone in your group like getting loud?
Yeah, I mean, we were verbally loud in our table ourselves. What really got them going is that other people were being seated after we had gotten there, because you could visibly see the rest of the dining room table,
right,
or the dining room hall, and you could see other people being seated after us, and they were being served their entrees. So it made them even more upset, like, what the hell? I mean, we didn't order anything super special, or at least in their heads they didn't.
Chicken parm takes time, man.
Yeah, it's like, what the hell? Doesn't this shit come out of a microwave and just reheat it or whatever? You know, I don't know the cooking methods of Olive Garden. But, you know, to say the least, they were very upset.
Did they start throwing stuff at the waiter or anything like that?
No, the waitress was actually, she was really nice. She came over a few times and apologized for the wait, but that she was doing what she could, but that she's waiting for the kitchen to finish the table.
I want to see the manager. Get him up here.
Well, first went my sister-in-law. She got up and she, you know, after everybody egged her on, because supposedly she's the one that makes
the juice.
She's the one with the scandalo, you know, that she could go up there and just start, you know.
Oh, hell no. Yeah. We've been waiting. Yeah.
So they kept egging her on, like, when are you going to go? When are you going to go say something? And they kept egging her until finally she got up. She went and said something. She came back and she said that they're working on it and they'll get it as quickly as possible. But, dude, even after that, man, to me, I'm not going to exaggerate the story. It was a good 10 minutes, 15 maybe. Still nothing. Then Alana got up.
So after that, between the 10 minutes, how many bowls of salad did you have in bread and soup?
I think that's around the time I had my third one. And even after the third one, I was like, I'm done. I'm full. I can't eat anymore.
Did you ask her for it? Can I get a to-go box for this salad?
So Alana goes up there afterwards, and then she puts in her 2 cents with the waiter, demands to see the manager. She comes back and says, yeah, the manager said he'll or she will come by after in a few minutes or whatever. So time still passes by again, and the manager comes over, and then she finally admits that they lost the meal ticket in the dining room or at the kitchen or something, that they lost the meal ticket. So they had to regenerate the meal ticket, and that's why it's taking longer than expected. So she apologized. She offered us each our own dessert for on the house. So we're a big group, so, you know, everybody ordering a dessert was quite a bit. So to me, I was satisfied. There was still some people that kind of had, you know, grumpy looks on their face because they hadn't eaten yet still.
This is not acceptable.
Yeah. But so she left, and then 5 more minutes passed by, and then finally they brought out the food. They gave a couple to-go meals for the grandma.
Okay.
So she took like a soup and some other stuff home. And then they came around to take a dessert order. So people ordering cheesecake and triple chocolate this and lava that or whatever.
I never had tiramisu. I know. I think I've had tiramisu there, but I don't know what other dessert they have there.
Yeah. It was good, man. I ordered the cheesecake just because everything else on the dessert didn't really look appealing to me. But I really don't like cheesecake too much.
Was it plain cheesecake?
It was with like raspberry drizzle on top or something. Okay.
But I'm saying that cheesecake was...
Yeah, it was plain. Okay. Yeah. I only took like two or three bites out of it, and I was all cheesecaked out. It's just too much.
Just threw it in the garbage?
No, I gave it to Junior, and he dug out the rest.
Really? Junior liked the cheesecake?
Yeah, he likes cheesecake. Okay. Yeah, for desserts, he's not picky. For everything else, he is. Even the cheese pizza, he only ate like one slice. And that's what was even worse and made Alana upset. That's why she went to go mention something, was that the kids' meals, which is just pizza, man. It's like a personal little pan pizza. That took longer, even longer than the entrees that everybody else got. So after everybody got their entrees, they still had not brought out the pizzas. And then another like 5-10 minutes passed after that, and then they finally brought out the pizzas. So Alana didn't even want to eat her meal until Junior got his pizza.
Right.
But I didn't know those were the rules. Otherwise, I would have waited too, but I was already three bowls in.
You're like, I got another one.
So... Yeah, they were a little bit upset, but once the dessert came out, everybody ate. Carrie ended up paying for the meal because it was her gift for Father's Day for all the guys, and then she paid for all the mothers there. So it was her gift for Mother's Day as well as Father's Day's for, you know, all the fathers coming up.
Where you're like, nah, I can't wait till an actual Father's Day for my gift.
Nah, I was happy. I was just like, oh, thanks for picking up the tab. So I'm not sure how the gratuity happened or if there was any after that. But yeah, it was kind of a bad moment. But it was a good time because we were around family. We were joking around and just keeping light of the situation.
The whole group, knowing you, Danny, for as long as I have, when you're like, I kind of know how you would handle it, but when you're like a big group like that, did you have an idea like, oh man, someone's going to start complaining, and do you get nervous that like they might get a little loud? Or because we all been there, like you have like, you know, eight friends, and you know that one person that's going to not snap, but they're going to say something. And to me personally, that always gets me like, oh man, like they're going to do something to our food.
No, yeah, for sure. You know,
like, it's also the way you word it, and then you don't want to be mean, but you got to say something, but it's the way you word it, too, because some people might take that wrong, and then you're getting, they might do something to your food.
I'm going to put something extra in the food.
Yeah, some special sauce or something.
Yeah, for sure. No, yeah, I do have that in the back of my head. I don't know if it's just the perv in me just thinking the worst of people. Or maybe I've seen too many funny comedies where people do things to the food. So I do have that in the back of my head. I tend to order my food just the way it comes. I don't order, hey, can you throw extra this or can you take this out? Oh, no onions or no this. Whatever it comes with, I'll either eat it or pick it off and take it off the meal. Just give me it the way you usually make it. I don't want to make a fuss. Just give me my food.
So what would happen if the food was like really severely undercooked?
Well, that's a different situation. If it's severely undercooked, which has happened to me where I've ordered like a steak and I've ordered it medium well and it comes in with a lot of pink where it's basically just charred on the outside and it's all pink on the inside. In those situations, I eat the outer edge because usually the outer edge is like the most cooked.
Right.
And then I'll save the rest and finish cooking it at home. Which, you know, it's kind of bad on me. You know, I should put the emphasis on the cook and on the place that I'm eating at. But I don't know. It's too much in my head that, you know, I'm going to send it back and be like, hey, this is not cooked the way I want it. The next one's going to come out with some extra on it that I don't want. So I don't even want to have that thought.
To me, that's my biggest issue with the restaurants is, like, when you go to a fast food place, obviously you are expecting you get a number one or you get it, all right? And then but when you start going like, no, this and that, and that's where I feel like They're minimum wage workers, so you can't be expecting a lot. And then I see people go like crazy on there, like they think they're like at a full restaurant, and I'm like, they're gonna fuck it up. I'm like, and I'm always think, do they have that's their intention for them to fuck it up so they get like free something out of it? Because you know it's fast food, dude. They're not gonna be this handcrafted, made to order food for you, you know, for like a $5 burger.
Yeah, well, I remember when Burger King made that motto, you know, have it your way.
Right.
I think that was like back in the 80s that they came up with that slogan. And people were really impressed because it's like you said, fast food joints, number one is a number one. Yeah. Oh, you don't want onions on it? Oh, man, it's going to be like a half hour away because we got to make it from scratch. Otherwise, we're just cranking them out with the default stuff on it. So it was that sort of thing where Burger King made something new and they're like, yeah, we're going to make it the way you want it. You don't want it with onions and tomatoes. We'll make it the way you want it.
That's why with those corporate restaurants where you just went, like, I see people go nuts, but I'm starting to get that feeling from them. Like 9 out of 10 times are pretty fast and they're quick, but it's not, I almost want to call it, it's like fast food, but it's not, I don't know. Like, you know, they're not some guy back there just, like, making the sauce from scratch. They got it all pre-made, and they're just heating it up, basically.
Yeah, I think the Olive Garden of old days maybe had more of that feel, that specialty, you know, this is Italian food. There's some guy back there making the pasta from scratch kind of thing.
Yeah.
But now it is more of a corporate-y thing. It's more, you know, they got these things frozen in the back somewhere, and they're just reheating it kind of stuff. Or at least that's what I imagine. I've never worked at a Olive Garden.
Exactly. Like I don't think it's just all like prepackaged stuff, and then they just. I mean, it's Olive Garden. I'm not expecting an actual Italian guy to be back there.
No, yeah, for sure. But something that was a better dining experience for me was I just recently went to Pequod's for some pizza, and man, it was good, man. The pizza was good, which me being a Chicagoan, I'm not really a big deep dish pizza guy, but man,
blasphemy.
Yeah, I know, but man, it was good. We had the Hawaiian, I think they call it Hawaiian pizza, where it comes with pineapple and bacon. And man, it was good, man. The cheese was all caramelized on the top, man, and it was all crispy and man, it was good.
No, yeah, Pequod is a favorite of ours. We've been going there for, man, like we're talking about this the other day, like 16, 17 years now.
Yeah, yeah. We went there for Dave. Dave and his wife were just about to get married or just got married. I can't remember if it was before or after. And we went there, and man, since then I was hooked. I was like, man, this is if I'm going to get a deep dish pizza from anywhere, this is where I'm going to get it.
No, yeah, that's a spot where you go, like when we have people from out of town come or something, I would, if they want like really like Chicago style pizza, like deep dish, I would take them there. Not like, I mean, Giordano's and Gino's East, you know, I mean, yeah, it's decent pizza, Lou Malnati's, but it's not like an original like Pequod's in the city.
Yeah, and to me, it's a great neighborhood. And it's to me, it's just good. It's good all overall. Yeah. The atmosphere, the people. It's kind of a sporty joint. You know, it's not a restaurant per se. You know, it's,
yeah, they love their Blackhawks there.
Yeah, yeah, they got tons of Blackhawks and you know, other sports memorabilia as well. You know, some Cubs, Sox, Bear stuff. But for the most part, you could tell that they're really Blackhawks fans. It's just a great spot, man. To me, I've liked it. I took Alana there, and ever since we've known each other, man, Alana and me, every now and then when we get into that deep dish pizza feel, that's where we go. We go head up some Pequod's.
No, yeah, Pequod's, it's really good pizza. The only problem there is sometimes you got to wait because it take a while to make that pie.
Yeah, for sure, man. There's a wait just for the pizza, and sometimes there's a wait just to even get seated, man, because that place is always packed, man. It's just like Jen and Jude's. It's like they always have a line of people there.
There's always a line. It's worth the wait, man, you know. And then they got a bar there. But, yeah, the Pequod's is every time I've gone, I've never been disappointed. I've never been disappointed there. The only thing that sucks is the wait. I mean, the wait to get in and the wait for the pizza.
Yeah. Well, the wait for the pizza, it's understandable just because, you know, they don't have these pre-made.
Yeah, they're pre-made.
So they're making them from scratch, throwing it into that brick oven. So it's going to take a minute. And then the wait, I guess, is understandable as well sometimes just because it's really popular, man. It's a popular spot, and there's always a full house.
Always.
I was kind of surprised this last time I went. It was kind of empty. We went kind of 5-ish, which is a little early for dinner. But it was kind of...
You're a senior citizen, man.
Yeah, it was kind of a little on the early side, but it was good, man. When we got there, it was a little on the empty, but then it got packed really fast, man, like within half an hour. Maybe once people started coming for real dinner, you know, like around 6-ish or whatever.
So we were at the fake dinner at 5?
Well, 5 to me is a little early for dinner. I mean, it's doable to me, but to me, dinner's more like 6, 7-ish, something like that, depending on what you're eating,
too. Getting on this dinner thing real quick. I've been told dinner after 7 is like late dinner.
Yeah.
I've always had dinner like between 6 and 8.
Yeah, to me, I think 6 is the sweet spot. If you're going to eat dinner and you want to hit that sweet spot, it's 6 o'clock.
I always liked eating dinner like at 7:30.
Oh, okay.
Like, but I've been told after 7 is like, it's like you're late. It's like really, you're having a really late dinner. I'm like, I don't know what time is dinner or what exactly in proper rules or etiquette there for eating dinner at this. What time is the right time?
Yeah, well, to me, if it's after 7, to have something like that, like deep dish pizza, it's kind of heavy food. And then to, you know, basically, if you're an early bird, you're going to sleep at 9, 10 o'clock. So you just barely ate dinner. And you're just going to go right to sleep. So
that makes sense. Now I can see. Yeah, because if I'm in bed like by 10, yeah.
I mean, that's a late dinner. So to me, a 6-ish is about the sweet spot. 5 is even okay, too. I mean, we eat dinner here at our house at 5 o'clock.
I thought you were going to say like 2:30.
Nah. Well, I get out of work at 4, so by the time I get home and get situated, we're sitting down for dinner around 5. So, yeah, I'm used to somewhat of an early dinner, but I know most people are used to dinner a little bit later than that.
Yeah, guys, let us know what is the proper time for eating dinner. Someone has to, out there on the internet, has to know. I don't want to Google it. But I have a feeling like I always felt 5 is too damn early. Like, we're not old. We don't need the senior citizen discount. Like, to me, it's always been like 7, like between 7 and 7:30. And I've been told like that's too late.
Yeah, no, nah, man. I kind of feel the same way. 7 is a little on the late side. But it all depends. It all depends if you had a late lunch. Like if I eat lunch at 2 o'clock, well, I'm not going to eat dinner at 5. 5 is too early, so I'll put it off until like 6, 7 to kind of give me a little gap between lunch and dinner. So it all depends.
Well, also, yeah, again, I normally have late lunches. So by then I know if I eat at 7, I'll probably eat everything that's on my plate. So I want to feel like I'm full. So I don't know, but the 5 to me is just too damn early.
Yeah, it is on a little on the early side, but hey, somebody else picked it. You know, it wasn't me. I was just abiding as a guest.
I believe you picked that place
as a guest to the invite.
Being,
you know,
a courtesy. Like, yeah, all right, yeah.
So no, it was a good time, man. It was good pizza, good food, and good company. It was just a good time.
Yeah, it was. We had a good time, and I think I won a bet too, huh?
Yeah. You didn't even cash in. And for all of you that is not catching along, Andy was also there at Pequod's with me. And we were just eating some deep dish all together there with a couple of friends here. And yeah, we had bet the beer pricing. I had said it was closer to $8 for domestic beer. And you had said, no, it's closer to 5, you had said.
I said it'd be like, if you get domestic beer, it'd probably be under 6.
Yeah.
And then if you get the craft beers, I think that would be like 7. And I was right. It was $6.95, $6.50, and then the domestic was 4?
4 and change, I think
it was. Like 4.
Yeah.
And then a pitcher of that was like $13. But that served, what, about 3 beers or so? 4 beers?
Yeah, it's like 3-4 beers in there. So yeah, we had a bet as to who was closest to the correct pricing. Andy towards the $5 and then me towards the $8. But no, it was Andy was more right on that one.
And for the record, I don't like IPA beer. So I know that's the trend right now. I'm just throwing that out there. And I do not like that beer, any IPA.
Yeah, I had one actually yesterday after I was cutting the grass. It was like one of my leftovers from San Am's sample the pack that I bought, pack, that variety pack.
How was it?
And I don't know if it was just because it was IPA beer or maybe because it's old, because it has been in my fridge for like a year. so I don't know which it was, but it did not taste too pleasing. I drank a few guzzles of it, and I was just like, I can't have the rest of this.
I don't know its full history in IPA. I've had like three different ones, and they all just, they're not good. I like lager beer. I like beer with flavor, but that is just, I do not like them. And I gave it a shot, so I don't like those beers.
Yeah, we just had the cheapest beer that they had there, Bud Light, you know, good old Bud Light, you know, he came in through.
America Light, it's going to be called soon.
Yeah, I heard they're changing their name or they're thinking about it.
They're going to do it.
I actually wanted Coors Light, but they didn't have it on tap. They only had it bottled, so I'm like, just give
me
that.
Did they have it bottled? I don't even see it if they had it bottled.
Well, when I asked for the pitcher of Coors Light, they're like, no, we only have it. She just said that they didn't have it on tap, so I just assumed that they did have the bottle but not the tap.
Okay.
So, but now once we got the pitcher, we're like, well, let's all get the same thing to kind of, you know, keep it affordable and I'll keep the same beer. So I just went Bud Light. But it was good, man. The beer was good. It was nice and cold. And, no, I'm a fan of Bud Light. It's my second beer of choice if Coors Light's not there.
No, yeah. No complaints with the beer. The only thing I wish they had was the Sam Adams Boston Lager. Or not the Boston Lager, the Summer Ale, which is starting to roll out. That's really good tasting.
Yeah, that's
beer.
That's a good tasting beer.
Yeah, that's probably one of the only type of different beer I would like is that type of beer.
I know Alana got the Guinness. She got a Guinness beer. Yeah, to me it was disgusting, man. Even when she was pouring it out, it looked like molasses. I was like, oh man.
You like it, man. I don't like that beer. I remember I was big in. I wanted to get into it, and I had it once. I'm like, this is not for me.
You wanted to be all refined and be like, man, I drink this exotic beer.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just like, this is nasty.
But for you, man, for your week, you made mention you've been catching up on some old TV shows, man. You're rewatching some Entourage.
So I won this on eBay, seasons 1 through 6 DVDs of Entourage for like $5. Like, no one bid on it. And the guy had free shipping. So I'm like, all right, I'll put $6. And I won it. I'm like, sweet. So it's all on DVDs. So I started rewatching them. I forgot they're half-hour episodes. There's usually about 10 episodes a season or 12. And I was cranking them out. And I forgot how good that show was or how much I liked it. And yeah, it's a pretty simple plot. Vince is always in some crap, and the other characters got their own little life situations going on. But I was actually watching an episode this morning. The movie, I saw the movie, was a little disappointing, but it was just a long episode. But the show overall, like, I forgot. I really liked those characters, and I kind of miss it. I wish they made another movie or at least brought it back for like half a season or something, because I want to see what's going on with them.
Yeah, I never saw the movie. I heard it was just a glorified episode, so that if you're down with the episode, you're going to like the movie.
Yeah,
but
the movie
was
just a long episode.
Yeah, I never watched it. Did you rewatch it from the start, from season one, or did you pick up like midway?
I picked up through season 4. So right now I'm on season 6. I just like, I remember seeing the first ones, and I can remember them really good, but the later half, like, I don't remember. Like, I forgot that Ari bought, like, this other agency in season 6. So, like, man, I forgot about all this, and I was watching some of that, and I'm like, and then the Sloan-Eric relationship, it was, like, really complicated. And then Vince doing his thing, drama going through his thing. And then you see Turtles, like, this, the last season, just being, like, I got to grow up. I'm going to be 30. Like, I can't be doing this stuff. And started dating Metal Soprano or whatever and all that crap.
Yeah.
And it was I mean, not the best written show, but it was really good. Like, I always liked those characters because I envisioned if I had money, that's how it would be in real life. I don't know how true it would be, but yeah, like, you see, especially with Hollywood, like, it's so fucking phony, like, the politics and the everybody's, like, so fake to each other. And, like, in the show, they're not fake, they're just, like, everybody's dicks to each other, especially, like, the agents and all that, so... I always wondered, like, I wonder if that's how it is in real life. Because I always heard there's a lot of inside jokes in Entourage.
I bet. I mean, it was produced by Mark Wahlberg, right?
Yeah.
So I know he likes to poke fun at the industry as well in a lot of his movies and stuff. So, yeah, I always liked Entourage. I thought it was a good show. I used to watch it, you know. Kind of binge watch it, not really follow along right. through the season or whatever. So I always enjoyed it.
Like, yeah, like he did that movie Medellin in the show. It tanked. Then he couldn't get work. And then he had his trouble with E. And then he fired him. And then he got them this movie. And, like, just now. So he's like, I'm back. And he gets money. So they're just living it up. And people are, like, growing. Now, I don't say they're growing apart, but, like, you get to an age where, like, man, I got to do something with my life. And, like, you see some of them, like, he's doing his thing, and then Turtle's starting to do thing. Drama got to work, and then in the last season, you could see Vince is, like, by himself, and he don't like it.
Yeah, Medellin, was that the Aquaman knockoff?
No, Medellin was the...
The Scarface one?
Yeah, the Scarface knockoff, the Escobar movie.
Yeah.
They're like, Escobar. We gotta make it. And, like, Ari Gold told them not to make it. And then the movie tanked. And Ari's like, you didn't fucking listen to me. Now we gotta do this. And we gotta, you know, like, nobody wants to hire him because the movie tanked. And so, like, that whole season, he's, like, struggling to get work. And then he finally gets work. The director don't like him. They shut down that whole movie. So he... Ari's like, dude, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm telling you right now, things are, it's going to be rough. And then, so he's auditioning, and then he gets some stuff to Gus Van Sant, and he's in a Scorsese movie, and then from there, he just starts making movies again. So it's like he's living it up.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it. I don't even remember all the details, but now that re-mentioning it, it does... You know, flashback, my memory.
Yeah. Like I said, I watched all that, and it's been years. When I saw the movie, I'm like, okay, it's a long episode, but I want to know what's going on with these people. And then I'm like, when I got this, all these DVDs, I'm like, man, I started watching. I forgot, like, they had a lot of shit going on, and some of the details I forgot. You had an overview. You kind of remember the overview, but yeah, I was like, you know, especially the relationship with like E and and Sloane, because Sloane is such a beautiful woman. I don't know how the hell, like, they kept breaking up and getting back together, and he would get other girls, but, like, Sloane was just, I don't know, like, he just, to me, like, he fucked that up.
No, yeah.
So I don't remember if they were together in the movie or not. I'm trying to remember, because I saw the movie it was been like a year and a half ago, so she was there. I just don't know if they were together or not.
I remember it was a big plot point when the season finally ended, the last episode for the whole finale.
Yeah.
And they were going to go get married or something, or they were going to fly off and go to Paris or some shit. And they had finally gotten back together, or at least that was how I remember the last episode.
Well, the final episode, the season 6, where I watched the final episode, Sloane and E, they're engaged. And Vince is flying to Italy. And with Johnny, with Drama, and Turtle just flew to New Zealand to be with Jamie Lynn Sigler, and she's like, don't come here. And then he got pissed, so he's like, I'm flying to Rome. And they're just engaged, so it's interesting to see, like, I gotta see season 7, because I think 7 and 8, 8's the final season, so there's 2 more seasons left in the show.
Oh, okay. No, yeah, it was a good show, man. A good TV show. At least I thought it was a good TV show. Let us know what your thoughts are. Send them in. FFNquestions@gmail.com. Something else you were watching, Civil War, man. You finally saw that Captain America movie?
Yeah, I saw it in the theater. Dropped that big money.
Oh, yeah. Big spending Andy, man.
I didn't get the popcorn. No, it was too expensive.
Good, man. Good. Yeah, that's how they get you, man.
I try to keep it spoiler-free because not everybody's seen it. But basically, it was a good fucking movie. I mean, they brought in more characters and they left some suspense. They left it open for... You kind of see where they're pushing, what's going to happen. But the Civil War, basically, it got the... It's not directly from the comics, but they changed it up some. But I wish there were a little bit more to the comic. I think it would have made it like a really great movie. But I could see why they did what they did, because it's a movie for a general audience, not just for the hardcore comic book nerd base.
Well, it'd be kind of hard as well, because I know in the comic books, the mutants had a little bit to do with it as well.
Yeah,
they used the X-Men in that storyline of Civil War. Wolverine played a part in Civil War, as well as the Sentinels. And it was an overall Marvel Universe story arc.
Exactly. But I'm glad Spider-Man has a bigger role in Civil War, the comics. So when they brought him in here... I think they did it right. I mean, that was like the big thing when everybody saw the trailer and he was there. And he had the, I want to call it the 80s Spider-Man look, which was really fucking cool.
The buggy eyes and
stuff.
Yeah,
with the little spider, not all weird. It's just a little spider in the tights and all that. So that was, to me, that I was like, this is fucking awesome. Then Captain, they have a little, that fight scene. I'm going to just tell you right now, it's probably the best.
That's what they keep saying.
The
airport?
Marvel, yeah, that fucking scene was like, they did it so fucking good. I forgot who directed it. The brothers, I think, I forgot their name, but they shot that beautifully. It was like a comic book page come to life. There was dialogue, there was shit talking, there was fighting. It was shot by one of the best comic book fight scenes I've seen since the only thing I could think of when Superman fucked up the original Superman when he was fighting the three other Kryptonians, Zod and all of them.
Oh, okay.
Like that, when I remember watching that shit, when I was a kid, like, damn, this is fucking cool as fuck. And then this just blew that out of the water.
Yeah, I heard it's actually filmed in like two or three different locations.
Yeah.
It was filmed, it was like 100-degree weather, so they were having some problems with heat. And then after they tested the film, that they didn't like how some things looked, so they reshot some stuff and added a few little tweaks here and there. So they had to go to another location and kind of fill in the gaps where they wanted. But yeah, that's what everybody keeps raving about, is that scene is great.
Yeah, it is. It was really good. And then there's surprises in there. And then the only thing is there's one. There's not really like a bad guy. There's not like a super villain. It's more like I know who the villain is in the comic. But I'm just say this, in the movie, he's like somewhat like a terrorist. That's how I could bring it up, closest as I can. But he's not the main villain. It's the whole story is Captain America and Iron Man.
Well, that's how it is. In the comics, it's kind of like that as well. I mean, the main story plot is whether the government has the right to force these superheroes, people who give up their lives or put their lives on the line, and they want to keep their identity secret, you know, to kind of protect their families, and the government deems it that, no, we need you to register. Tell us your secret identity so we can know who you are and kind of hold you responsible for tragedies. Because I think it all started with the Incredible Hulk. He kind of goes like on a little mini rampage, and then they exile him. And then after that, that's kind of where the Civil War started, because they started pushing more for registration, in the comic books at least. They started putting more for registration, and then finally that's where Cap chose the side of, no, I'm not going to register. I don't think it's right. And then Iron Man's the one that chose the government side and get everybody identified and tagged.
I was just saying, like, in the comic, Iron Man is kind of like, he's like the new leader of like S.H.I.E.L.D. almost. Like, not S.H.I.E.L.D., but he's taking the lead on that, and he is pushing, like, he's almost manipulating some of these people, I feel like, in the comic, to register. I mean, some of them are valid points, but he's just trying to get...
Iron Man, you're saying?
Yeah, Iron Man. Okay. And then, like, in the movie, there's a little bit of that. Just a little bit of it. And so, but I'm not saying that he was bad, but it was, like, he had an agenda. And in the comic, he had a big agenda. And this one, it's more like, oh, me and Captain America are friends, blah, blah. And they just see differently. But in the comic, it's more... It was more detailed. Like, he had an agenda. He was looking at the big picture. And he just kept pushing it in the comic. And, like, that's why when he got... In the comic, he got Spider-Man to reveal his identity. That was because Iron Man kind of pushed him toward that.
Yeah, he kind of manipulated him. I didn't read the whole Civil War arc in the comics. But I did read up to and a little bit past where Spider-Man revealed his identity. You know, that he was Peter Parker to the world. And it was a huge deal in the Marvel Universe when that happened. That people couldn't believe it.
That was like in real, like in the news, like when he revealed, like I remember seeing that like on CNN and Fox.
Yeah, it was like as big as Superman's death. Yeah, when Superman died, it was like the same way. It made the mainstream media because it was a big deal. So people kind of love that Spider-Man was in the movie. The other one that I heard people really like is the Black Panther. Did you like the character, or did you even feel like he played a good part, or he left a good taste in your mouth?
He's a good character. I mean, I read the Avengers comics. He was a big part of the Avengers. But to me, getting his own movie, what they're doing, I'm not... I mean, they could do it. I mean, I don't think that's something like I want to go see. Like, okay. I'd rather go see a Thor movie because I like Thor, like the basic, the core group, you know, Iron Man, Captain America, Hulk, and Thor. That four group right there, I would see their movies because I liked all those characters. And I love the Incredible Hulk, and when they did those movies, I mean, they fucked them up. But the last one with Ed Norton was really fucking good. And then he's like, I'm not making it because he had issues with the studio and all that.
Yeah, I heard he wanted to take more creative control and wanted to take the movie into a slightly different direction. So,
but he did that. That was a good Hulk.
I liked it. I thought he portrayed Bruce Banner very good. He had problems with the studio, so they ended up getting another guy. So I even like this new guy. I think this new guy kind of plays him good.
I was kind of shocked how he's been portraying him. But, yeah, I mean, he's been pretty good. I like Norton. They all can't be Bill Bixby, so.
Yeah.
That's the OG right there. That motherfucker, he had it. He had that, like, watching the show as a kid in reruns. Like, I fucking felt that, man. Like, he just walked and, like, just leave me the fuck alone. And when he's flipping over the car in the intro, that was fucking badass. I used to fucking raise the volume on that thing. He'd be like, rawr, that fucking roar.
Oh, when he was trying to change the tire?
Because I want
to
do that shit, too.
And his hand slipped, and he'd be like, ah. Yeah. Like,
that's how it is, man. The most simplest shit never works out for you. You get pissed. And, like, I want to do that and flip the truck over sometimes. Like, ah. And I'm like, it's cool. Do it. You're the Hulk. Who's going to fuck with you?
Yeah, and I remember seeing a meme where it showed all the old superheroes next to the new superheroes. Yeah. So they show like the original Incredible Hulk, you know, the Bixby, and then the original Thor, the Captain America TV series, and like the old Spider-Man. And they just look weird, man. They look real hokey, real campy. And you see these new guys, they're all jacked up, all huge.
CGI, yeah. That's what I'm saying, like, with Bill Bixby, like, in the show. Like, I watched that show religiously as a child and reruns. And to this day, I remember it was the same episode, just different location. He would get there and he'd be like, yeah, man, I'm just looking for work, man. And he's doing some shit. And there's always a guy fucking with him. And he'd be like, man, don't fuck with me, man. Leave me alone. I'll fuck you up. Like, he wasn't in those many words, but like, just leave me alone, man. You know, leave me alone. And now they kept pushing him and pushing. And then he fucking turned into the Hulk and just fuck up everything. And like, I got to bounce. But and then next thing you just see him walking on the highway looking for a ride and shit.
Did you like him that much, even though he was called David Banner?
Yeah, well, the story behind that, too, like, I didn't get it. Well, at first, I watched it. I didn't know his name was Bruce because I watched the show first. And then when I read the comics later, I'm like, his name is Bruce? And then I saw an interview with Kevin Smith did to Stan Lee.
Yeah.
And he's like, why did you guys do that? Well, you got to understand, it was a different time. They thought Bruce was too gay.
Yeah, but
that's the whole story.
Sounded too feminine.
Yeah, the studio didn't like that. Like, let's call him David. But I think in the tombstone, you see David Bruce Banner.
I think that's at the end. They ended up kind of flipping it a little bit, and then even in the comics, that's how they refer to him. That's his middle name now.
Yeah.
So then that way they could kind of connect both universes together and kind of join them.
Yeah. But yeah, the Incredible Hulk. I love that character, and that to me just it was basically because of the fucking show. This show, man. I got the whole box set in my house. It's just every once in a while popping in. Then I got the TV movies, and then the one he did with him and Thor. Thor's like some biker guy, and he did one with Daredevil, and like in a black suit. It was weird, but I got him. And then the one where he dies, and like they did a TV movie where like the death of the Incredible Hulk. I got that, and like the way he died was weird.
Yeah, no, it was a good TV show. I mean, for what it was, trying to wrap up a little story arc in half an hour. I think it was half an hour.
It was an
hour
show.
Oh, was it an hour?
Yeah,
to wrap up a whole story arc, because every episode was somewhat self-contained, and a new town, a new girl, a new job.
Yeah.
Very Selman-y. Did you get a two-episode, you know, like, all right, we're going to continue the story arc. Back in the 80s, that's how it was. Everything was self-contained. There wasn't an overall story arc like there is nowadays.
Like, every once in a while, there's an episode where he's already, like, settled. He's working. He's been there, like, a month. And then, like, some, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm doing great. He got, like, little side action. He got his little cash job. They don't know his true identity. He's relaxed. He hasn't turned into the Hulk. And then, like, someone starts fucking with him. And he's like, shit gets all fucked up for him. Like, I gotta go, baby.
Yeah, it was a good TV show, man. That's one I wouldn't mind rewatching. Even though some of it's kind of hokey and it's kind of old and
it's early
80s,
it
might not live up to what it is today, but
it's early 80s, late 70s, early 80s TV show. So, I mean, I don't care. I'll watch it. If it's on TV, I'm not going to watch the whole season. Nah, like if it's on TV, I'll watch it.
Yeah, man. Some old technology being used there, but kind of speaking onto new technology here, we found this article that said 17% of people this survey was taken in British, right?
That's, yeah, in the UK.
In the UK, they surveyed 1,000 British adults, and out of those 1,000 people, 17% said they would be willing to engage in some type of relationship or date a robot and go out with a robot, which I thought was weird. I was just like, man, really, man? I couldn't even think that would even be possible. But from seeing movies like Ex Machina? Machina or Machina?
Machine. I've heard Machina.
I don't know, to me, it looks like Machina.
Machina, yeah.
Yeah, Ex Machina. But it's that robot movie where this Google, owner sort of guy, or at least a character like that. He has all his billions of dollars and he owns this company. Well, he doesn't know what to do, so he tries to create an artificial intelligent. And the artificial intelligent robot starts falling in love with the guy, or I should say, the guy more with the robot. It's a pretty good movie. I just recently watched it, maybe a couple of weeks ago, even though it's been out for a few minutes here now. So
did he make the robot like all sexy and shit? Or,
I mean, she
or was it a dude robot? Or
you haven't seen
shit?
It?
I haven't seen
you
it.
You haven't seen it? She does look pretty sexy in the movie. Even
so
though,
a guy created this female looking robot.
Yeah. It's the premise is, like I said, it's like this Google, you know, like a Steve Jobs guy where he owns this company, or he's
a billionaire.
Yeah. He's a gazillionaire. So he has like a resort or a house in the mountains that's secluded from the world. And since he has money, he has power. The only thing else he's trying to do is create life. So he decides to create this robot.
That's why you have relations with women, man. That's creating life.
Yeah, well, in the movie, it kind of flirts with that he, you know, he's banged chicks and he's had all these relations, and you know, it kind of bores him now that he wants to.
Jake the Snake Robert, he needs crazy shit going on. Like, I need to create something so I could fuck it.
Well, the movie takes some interesting spins midway through it, so it's definitely interesting. I watched it right after watching that other robot movie, I forget the name of it now, Charlie. Yeah, Charlie was it, I think it was.
Which one? That one sounds familiar.
That's the one where it's kind of like a short circuit. It's like an actual animatronic robot.
Yes.
And they use them as police officers.
Yeah.
Because I guess, like, I think it was in Australia, if I remember right. There's some country where it's total anarchy, so they get these robots to come in.
Not RoboCop?
Not RoboCop. These are actual robots that are designed and got, like, a programming protocol and blah, 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 and then they give one of them like a sense of reality, and then it just keeps going from there. That was a pretty good movie too, but this one is really, to me, it's kind of funny. The movie is kind of low budgety, but at the same time, really high tech. So I don't know if, because there's only like 8 characters in the whole movie plot. I mean, it's centered mostly in that mountain resort, you know, right. You really don't see too many other scenes of anything else or any other people.
Well, getting back to the article real quick, to me, it's so they're surveying 1,000 adults. I want to know, like, they don't really give you details on, like, the gender, like, their income, their education level, because I always feel like, not to sound like an idiot, but, like, smart people, like, they're like, they get consumed by other things, and I feel like lovemaking is not on the top of their list. And this, I want to know, like this movie. Now I want to see it because this interests me. Like, why would he want to create a robot? And then, like, is he like, if he wants to have a relationship, or he's like in love with it because like, I just don't get. I'm missing like a connection. I want to see it now because I want to see what he sees in this. Not like a human being, like something. Is it because maybe he created it? You know, do they talk about that in the movie or not?
Well, he does have a reference. He brings in this other character into his fold, and he tells him, he's like, "Look, I want to see with this guy being a programmer or being some smart guy." He's like, "I want to see if this robot to you, if it has an actual, like, a being, like, you know, would it
a soul?
Like, yeah, would it pass off to having a soul to you?" So he comes in and he's just like, "I want you to do these checks and balances, kind of check it out." He's like, "I'm kind of biased because I created it, so right. I need an outside." So the guy comes in, and after the first meeting with the robot, he comes back and tells the Google guy or the billionaire. And he's just like, "Man, you did something that's really incredible here, man. This is great, man." He's like, "You're such a great visionary." I don't remember the exact quote, but something to the fact of, "Man, you're great."
He's dick riding him.
And then so then the guy goes, is just like, "Oh, I never thought about it like that. So what you're saying is I'm like a god, right?"
Yeah.
And then the outside guy, he's just like, "Well, I didn't say that." And he's just like, "Man, that'd be a great byline. When this thing goes public," he's just like, Google guy, god. Like a god. And he's just like, yeah. And he kind of goes into his head, like a little fantasy into his head. He's just like, "Oh, yeah, man, I could be like a god." And so, yeah, I think he does have that kind of persona, like where he wants to be something more, even though he's already got $1 billion or a gazillionaire or whatever it is.
Yeah, like that's what I'm saying. Like creating life, like I get that's why we have relations with someone you love and you make babies, but like he finds that boring, or does he think he's above that? Like that's why I'm like, this character, now I want to see this movie. And then like he falls in love with the robot or whatever happens, he has this relationship with the robot. And that's what I'm saying, like people who want to have, in the article, they want to have a relationship with a robot. Like, well, what do you think, what happened if the robot goes, "Fuck you, I don't want to be with you"? Or like, are they just going to be, you want to be with them because you think they're going to do everything you tell them to do? Like, that's where I'm getting at. Or what do you think you're going to get back from the robot? Like,
yeah,
like an actual thought, or maybe the weapon of the robot is like, don't do that. Or like, it's just another person.
Just be like real life, Andy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, like she's like, "Oh, you're gonna spend money." Well, first of all, if it's like you're a guy and you want to be with a chick, and then you make a female robot, and she's like, "Are you gonna spend your money on that? What's wrong with you?" Like, that's what I'm expecting. Like, that robot is gonna evolve into just an average woman that wants to shit on you.
No, for sure.
Like nag you to death or something.
Well, the article goes into other things as well. They asked all these people that were surveyed, more than half of them were willing to get microchipped, to get a microchip implanted under their skin that would help in, you know, like kind of menial stuff like open doors, log into work, log into computers, where this chip would be some kind of, what do they call that, that near communication device?
Like an RFID chip where they know.
Yeah, where when you walk up to something.
It's always transmitting.
Yeah, where it'll log in. Kind of like the smart keys, too, for a car where when you walk up to it, it unlocks the doors and turns on the car. So they said more than half of them are willing to get that implanted under their skin somewhere.
I wouldn't want that.
That'd be kind of scary.
They want to keep their robot wives in check, man. Like, where you been? This chip says you weren't spending money.
Yeah, and it said also 23% of them are willing to use an alternative like eating method, that they're willing to eat dinner off of a pill. Like if you told them you can eat this pill and it'll give you everything that you need as a diet. That they're willing to do that.
That one I find very hard to believe because in today's society, people are always taking pictures of their food, giving reviews, they're sharing, like, look what I'm eating. And so I don't think the social websites, like, I'm posting a pill. Now, I imagine they put a pill and, like, you pour water on it, like, this whole fucking dinner thing would pop up.
Maybe
I
could see like that. Like it was frozen or something? Or
dry food? But just, like, popping a pill. Like, you know, on Star Trek with the replicators, they create whatever food, but you always hear like, oh, it don't taste the same as back as home. So I'd be interested to see, like, you're just taking a pill. Like, how would you feel full afterwards? Like, I don't get it. Or are you just getting, like, the nutrients?
Yeah, to me it sounds kind of weird, but I know some people, I guess they might be into that. I know some people take shakes, protein shakes, in lieu of having a meal.
Yeah.
So I guess this is probably not too far-fetched, but something else, a quick article that we want to discuss is, how tech is really integrated into everything now, man. And, an example is in the Brussels, disaster that just happened, that terrorist attack where there was, three bombings, two at the airport, I believe, and then one at, a subway station. There were getting an influx of so many phone calls that the government and all the officials there were telling people, text in, send in your tweets,
updates,
Facebooks,
or what you see. Yeah.
Stuff like that. So use social media as a means to send in your, you know, emergency requests, things that you saw, stuff like that, instead of calling in, because the networks could not take the influx of all the calls at the same time.
Yeah, that shocked me because if you get tweeted or text, like, I feel like it's a timestamp that they're looking for. Like, at this time, someone saw this time someone saw that. They got kind of like an outline to see what the hell's going on. But my concern is, like, yeah, they have a record of it, but is anything going to be done about it? Like, oh, shit, there's a guy here with a gun, and there's a guy over there. Like, who the hell is reading all that, and how are they going to be able to distribute where the police or whatever tell them where to go if they're just everybody's tweeting or texting shit in?
That's to me, is honestly what was my biggest concern when I was reading this article, was who is reading all this stuff? You're telling me there's a cop or some kind of data analyst sitting on Facebook while this disaster's happening, reading all the Facebook tweets that the whole world is putting? Or do they give out like a hashtag, like, hey, put hashtag disaster or Brussels or something?
Yeah, exactly.
So they can narrow it down, because otherwise, how do you even siphon through all that information to find the stuff that's pertinent to what's going on?
I'm pretty sure they got like some software or something that tells them all that. But like, my thing is like, yeah, they're asking you to text in whatever you're seeing. But like, how do you know that you're going to be like, they're going to text you back where somebody's on the way or anything? Or is it just like, yeah, some confirmation, generic confirmation. We got your message. Thank you. Someone will contact you in 24 hours or some shit like that.
I mean, I guess it's better than nothing. I mean, if you're having a disaster or you're hurt or you're trapped somewhere and you text somebody, it's better than making a phone call and the call not going through. And then now you're panicking because you have no way of communicating. So I guess a text or a Facebook message is better than nothing.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I think it's like a record keeping thing. Like, to like a time track, or like they have time, like someone, we got on record a time saying like someone saw this at this time. And then you could see like what the person, the attacker, whatever they were doing. And there's like a time stamp to it. And then they, it's just for like record keeping. Like, I feel like nothing is going to get done. Like, you're probably going to be dead if you do need somebody, you know?
Yeah. The other part of this that's kind of scary, does this mean that our infrastructure for phone calls is getting kind of antiquated, and maybe the system is not just not made to take this many phone calls at one time? So are we upgrading our telecommunication network so it could handle the volume that it's supposed to?
One of the things after 9/11, what was the first thing, like, okay, America was attacked. I believe they had it in New York. They had the emergency broadcast system, you know, like since people on TV, they had something actually come up there. I haven't seen no pictures of it or anything, but supposedly they did have the emergency broadcast system, like that fucking noise.
They activated it, and it was not a test.
Yeah, they actually did something like that in New York, because I did hear, their lines, you couldn't get through it. It was there, like they were busy. So people started calling, like family and friends or something, and but I know like the infrastructure that was back then, was that 15 years ago now, they were like getting slammed, and they did activate the emergency broadcast system, and I don't recall if they had like a number you're supposed to call or something like that, but they just said like, I never know, I don't, to this day I don't know what it was actually saying, like we're under attack or something, I don't know. But I know I've heard that they did activate that thing.
Wow.
Because, you know, all those tests growing up, you know, you hear them, then this is just a test or some shit. Like, so, like that, one of the first things, like, well, but did they put something on TV, or did they just watch the news? Did someone, like, say, like, seek shelter or some shit? Like, you know.
Yeah.
So, that's why, to this day, I don't know what exactly that what message they put out there, or they were just like, yeah, there's an emergency, go hide or something.
Wow, this is the first I've heard of it. I didn't even know about it. I'd be kind of curious to check and see if I could find anything.
That's what I'm saying. Nobody watches like normal TV. Everybody's always streaming stuff, or they're watching YouTube videos or streaming shit. So like, people forget that there was shit like that set up a long time ago. And I always wonder, like, the younger kids even know what, if that thing pops up, that's probably gonna freak them the fuck out.
Yeah, probably. But unfortunately, that's all about all the time we have today. We'd like to thank everybody out there for listening. Please continue tuning in, sending us your questions, suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. But remember, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter as well at Freeform Network. Visit our webpage at freeformnetwork.podbean.com. Also visit our friends at 1893 Coalition, consisting of Intellectual Nonsense and the Enthusiast Project. But on our webpage, you will see links for Stitcher, iTunes, Spreaker, SoundCloud, and just about every other device that you can think of. Hit that subscribe and like button. We really appreciate it. It helps our numbers grow and helps our jump the catalogs and further up to the top. But for Freeform Radio, my name is Daniel.
Happy Andy.
We'd like to thank you all for listening. Hope you have a great week. We will see you next time. Thank you.
Dad.